hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest, as always, world news and health research. I hope everybody's having a fantastic day today. I'm actually reporting to you guys live from West Palm Beach down here on the east coast of Florida. And sadly, I just found out when I got down here that the red tide has now shut down all of Miami and West Palm Beach and is now moving up towards Vero Beach. As you guys know, the huge issue we had with the algae that basically turned into the red tide in the Gulf, wiped out about 80% of the marine life in the Gulf, has now moved over to the East Coast, over in the Atlantic, which is rough now because a lot of people don't realize water and beaches and fishing is a huge, huge income generator for the state of Florida. Huge. I mean, there's the livelihood of a lot of people's entire lives and fortunes and businesses operate off the ability to fish and get food out of both of these bodies of water, the Gulf and the Atlantic. And now we're reaching a point where we can't even go in the water. They gave me a big warning as soon as I walked into the hotel, basically stating that red tide warning is in effect, and they highly recommend you do not go out on the beach and you absolutely do not go out in the water, and basically to stay at the resort, which is absolutely fantastic when you're in Florida and you want to go to the beach at a resort, and you can't because the water's blood red. Really interesting. And so a lot of people don't understand that how big of an effect this is having on the state of Florida, especially, too, because it's almost, in my opinion, this is being done intentionally on the backside because, as you know, Adam Putnam, who was down here basically handling everything in Polk County, as far as environmental, he signed off on all this stuff and allowed it to happen. I talked about this in detail with the sugarcane factories and all the environmental runoff and the fertilizers in the Lake Okeechobee, which turned into this giant green algae mess we have. And of course, Governor Rick Scott signed off on a lot of this stuff long term, and now we're reaching a point where we really don't have any marine animals to fish from anymore. The fish population, like I said, is decimated about 80%. They're now bringing state prison workers out here. Basically, they're doing the community service and they're cleaning up the beaches, literally pulling tons, and I don't mean that exaggeratively, tons of dead fish and marine life off the beaches in Florida. Absolutely horrific, Dad. But I just want to kind of start off with that and let you guys know this thing is not over. It has gotten worse down here in Florida, and we're definitely going to have some issues, especially over the coming years, with the fish and the wildlife in the water because of this issue. And it's, you know, you think about it, we have Florida going on down here, which is a huge, huge moneymaker as far as with attractions and beach and fishing and everything. California has the Pacific with Fukushima. Animals, aquatic animals, are dying left and right, washing up on beaches. We have the massive wildfires out west that are burning a lot of these habitats for these animals, and they're dying. So, I mean, is this stuff a completely natural occurrence? Maybe. Could it possibly be semi-controlled to completely reduce the population of animal and survivable food supplies that are on the population of the United States? Also too popular, you know, could be possible. One thing you got to think about this too, one of the main things in the playbook for any type of tactical maneuver on a population to control them is control the food population. Always remember that. If you can control the food, you can normally almost always control the people, because once people get hungry enough and malnourished enough, they usually do not have the will to fight or resist because they become too tired and too weak from a lack of nutrients and calories, Dad. Just want to kind of throw my side thought in there on that. But anyways, how are you doing today up there in North Carolina?
Awesome. I'm doing great. It's still, you know, hotter than blue blazes up here. I mean, right now I'm looking at my thermometer on the truck and it says it's 98 degrees, but I can't believe that's accurate. But it's hot, bud. It's hot. And of course, the truck's sitting in the sun, but normally it doesn't do that. It'll kind of give me some type of realistic number, but I don't think it's probably about 88 is what it is. But it's as hot as it is in Florida. Now, in the evening, it's been getting cooler, which has been nice. Now, I've been working all day. It's been kind of fun for me. I've been doing a bunch of manual labor. I actually framed in a platform to keep the mice off of everything, something that we can suspend from the ceiling, and did all that this morning. And so it was a lot of fun. I haven't built things in a long time. I used to be a framer when I was in high school, working and I worked for Scotty's, which is a home building company, kind of like Lowe's is now, installing modular housings and framing up a bunch of different stuff. So I love doing that kind of stuff. It's just that I don't really have time to do that kind of stuff anymore, but today I kind of made time to do it. We got to pray right now because of what happened in Florence, South Carolina yesterday. A good friend of mine, Kevin Jordan, who owns Alarm Alert up there, contacted me and asked me if I'd heard what happened in Florence, and I looked it up. But the police chief is asking everyone right now who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I love this. The police chief asks everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ to pray after 7 officers are shot in the line of duty. This is a big story. A South Carolina sheriff and police chief are requesting prayer after 7 officers were shot in Florence. One officer has been killed after being struck by the suspect, and he's asking us to pray. According to reports, the sheriff deputies arrived at the Vintage Place residence at approximately 4 p.m. yesterday to serve a warrant on a 27-year-old man accused of sexually assaulting a foster child. However, a 70-year-old now identified as Fred Hopkins is a white male, former military man, quickly opened fire on the deputies. These officers, and here's why I said he's a white male, okay? Because I always say they're a black male, I want to say they're a white male, I want to say they're Hispanic male, or I want to say they're a Muslim male. I don't pick what color people are or what race they are based upon my reporting. It's just everybody gets identified as a white male, Fred Hopkins. These officers went there to unknowing the firepower this suspect had. Been explained to the officer in charge. They thought it was a random search warrant. When they arrived, gunfire started and several officers were hit. I believe all the officers that were hit were women. When other officers arrived to try to help their injured comrades, Hopkins shot at them as well. The suspect continued to fire on the officers who responded to the scene to render aid to the wounded. Major Mike Nunn explained officers from the Florence City Police Department responded to assist, and several of their officers were shot as well. Finally, an MRAP, an armored vehicle, had to be used to rescue the downed officers that had to go between the house and the shooter. And according to local television station, Hopkins fired at the MRAP. The guy's firing at everything. The guy's a nut. The situation turned into a 2-hour standoff with children inside of the home. A 27-year-old inside of the residence believed to be the subject of the search warrant was also shot. A negotiator was finally able to talk to Hawkins, a former attorney. By the way, he was disbarred in the 80s, apparently for not paying some fines and a surrendering. One officer, Sergeant Terry Caraway, died. Terrence Caraway died from his injuries. He had just received a 30-year service pen. I guess this was a male who was also shot from the Florence Police Department. And it's just sad because the guy just went kind of nuts. Now, I want to stop here for 1 second. Of course, this is going to be another call for massive gun control. That's what this is going to be. This is probably not a staged shooting. It doesn't smell like, you know, a false flag at all. It smells like a nut with a gun. He probably was on psychotropic drugs. He had fought in Vietnam. He may have been suffering still from post-traumatic stress syndrome, which was very misdiagnosed, often undiagnosed with a lot of the soldiers from the 50s and the 60s. He probably was very disgruntled. His wife was also an attorney. And he was just probably a very, very unhappy guy, and he hated the system. This is not what we do. You know, if you're whoever is living with you, the 27-year-old, if he's being given a warrant for abusing a foster child, everybody's asked the question, did he abuse the foster child? Now, the foster care system in itself is so completely corrupt that it's unbelievable to me that people would allow their children to go into a system like that, because it's absolutely awful. But it's one of those things that we have to take a look at, so we need to pray for those guys. In fact, let's pray right now. Father, I pray for the officers shot in the line of defense in Florence. I pray they all recover. I pray the ones that are in intensive care, that they recover. I pray that we can figure out what happened to this guy and why he did this. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Also, we have to think about what type of medication this guy was on. Because, guys, there are a lot of people out there that are really mentally unstable because of meds they're on. And they do all kinds of crazy things. Prozac's one of the worst. They do all kinds of crazy things. And not even realizing if they were in the right mind, they would be acting like that. By the way, I've told you guys many, many times about marijuana and what it can do. And finally, a study's come out now, and I'll read you the full article. It says marijuana could be worse for teen brains than alcohol study finds. I'm going to repeat that. A new study has found that, and I've been telling you this for years, could be worse for teen brains than alcohol, a new study found. The study published in the American Journal of Psychiatry tested the memory and the reasoning skills of 3,800 teenagers ages 13 to 17. They found that marijuana affected teens' long-term cognitive abilities more than alcohol. What it does, it stops brain development. The study also found that even when the students stopped smoking pot, that their memory did not get better. Scientists say they need to do more research to find out how and why the brain is affected by marijuana use. Now, I just wanted to cover this with you guys because, you know, the reality is this. I've been telling guys this for years. That's why I said marijuana should not be allowed to be a recreational drug for kids, period. I mean, it's not something that if somebody's 21 years old and they wanted to do this, whatever. I mean, you know, 25, but cognitive development impairment is not really, it's not okay. The article is titled, A Population-Based Analysis of the Relationship Between Substance Abuse and Adolescent Cognitive Development. A whole bunch of different people were in this as far as the authors. It said, the abstract, alcohol and cannabis misuse are related to impaired cognition. When inferring causality, four non-exclusive theoretical models can account for this association. And it goes into detail about what happens and talks about the methods and the results and the conclusions. And they're saying that basically it says beyond the role of cognition and vulnerability to substance abuse, the concurrent and lasting effects of marijuana use can be observed on important cognitive functions and appear to be more pronounced than those observed for alcohol. Again, if a person has full mental development at 25 years old, they want to use marijuana recreationally, I could absolutely care less. It needs to be something that not legalized for the entire population. If they want to be in a state that wants to do that, that's up to them. But the use for children, it needs, that shouldn't happen, guys. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids shouldn't be doing it because they're so stupid. Many of them, even if they know they will suffer permanent cognitive decline, they will continue to do it without any thought of their future. Very, very scary stuff, Boston. What do you think?
Yes, I've read some of the similar stuff before, and as you know, our listeners may or may not have known, when I was in college, a couple different psychology programs that I was in, I worked under one program we were doing to help in a methadone clinic for some clinical studies. I also helped with drug rehab on a few other standpoints, and one aspect, the issue with marijuana that comes into play, especially with teenagers, is that A, it does not leave the body rapidly. THC builds in the system. It stores in almost everything, primarily in fat in the body. That's why if you're testing somebody for cannabis or THC, which is the active ingredient in cannabis or marijuana, you can find it up to 30 to 60 days just in a urine test. Alcohol is not the same. Alcohol usually is metabolized and excreted through the urine within 1 to 2 days maximum. Can you possibly tell if somebody's got alcohol? That's why they do blood alcohol tests when you're drunk to see what your alcohol level is immediately. One aspect too that has always been a theory as far as with the cannabis, as far as what I saw in some of the drug rehab, is that it's much easier for teenagers to get hooked on marijuana, especially when they're younger, because they can function as far as in a social setting, in a school setting, in an area of that standpoint while they're stoned, basically smoking dope or smoking cannabis. It's hard for a kid to go to school completely drunk and to not be called out by a professor or called out by the principal or anything like that, because you know usually signs of alcoholism or being drunk are usually very, very clear-cut signs. Also to remember, the body, as far as when it processes ethanol in the brain, it's very damaging to the brain, but it's also excreted and moved out of the body very, very rapidly. Ethanol is processed very fast, especially in a young body with a good liver. Cannabis again does not do that. Cannabis stores, as far as the THC, stores in the body long term. That's one of the reasons why they've always theorized that the effects of memory lapse and short-term memory loss in cannabis is so severe because it stays in the body so long. Also, another factor is, too, majority of times kids don't smoke pot one time. If they do, they probably don't smoke it ever again. But majority of kids that smoke pot, they smoke it on a regular basis, usually 1 to 2 times a day in the studies that I personally saw. That's another factor, because the uptime as far as the plateau, the peak of THC as far as the high that these kids get is anywhere from 4 to 8 hours depending on what kind of cannabis they're using. So if they're using it twice a day, you're looking at all the way from a peak to a trough of 8 to 16 hours, meaning majority of their entire day they're heavily influenced by THC. Alcohol, again, is much rarer than that because most kids can't run around drunk all the time without being caught by their parents. So recreational alcohol
alcohol use may be done once a week, twice a week, maybe once on a weekend, once a month. Not nearly as regular as cannabis usage. But yeah, we've talked about it before. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever that teenagers need to be using this stuff recreationally, even as you start to get older. Really, as Dad said, once you start hitting concrete rational thought, 23, 24, 25, is really the only time that I really just, whatever, if you want to use it, you can use it. It's really not going to have that significant side effects on you unless you go absolutely berserk with it. And plus, at that point, you're an adult. I could care less what you do. Like Dad always said, I'm not going to be your, I'm not your boss. I'm not here to micromanage you. And that's one issue that we've run into in the United States now, is that we try to micromanage everybody, even when they're adults. And it's kind of turned this whole idea in the United States of everybody needs to be babysat by the federal government. And so there's a fine line between those two. But that research study is definitely, definitely interesting. I fully agree with that as well, because I've seen that in the research studies that we did in college. Also, too, in other news, in news that's going on as far as with the Senate vote, it looks like the Senate has voted to advance Kavanaugh to the final confirmation vote. However, basically, Soros-backed Democrats and his little minions, I call them, that are running around protesting, are basically pitching a fit, stating that they're going to do everything they can to prevent the basically from him being nominated. And put into place Louisiana Republican Senator David Perdue, which I like this guy. He really called him out. He argued and said that Republicans should blatantly ignore these protesters who have a clear partisan agenda and instead should grow up and play defense. He goes, this is what he said. These are not genuine people who are concerned about Dr. Ford or anything for that matter. They are paid activists. This is a George Soros paid conspiracy, and it's time to wake up, expose them, stand up and fight for our country, because that is what is at stake here. That's what Republican Senator David Perdue stated today, and I was pretty proud of that, because we have heard very few Republicans actually call out George Soros and his paid minions that he is basically subsidizing to do, in my opinion, what is a huge amount of what's going on with the protest activity, the violent behavior, all the crazy stuff you see online when these guys are doing this. Because a lot of these people, you know, you talk to the ones that are really just brainwashed communists, and they're a lot of them aren't that violent. They're just really, really ignorant in what they believe. Like Dad met when they were up in there in Washington, D.C. But these ones that are so militant and so violent, most people in most cases aren't going to risk going to jail for felony charges over the protest of a Republican Supreme Court judge. Just really isn't that likely. There may be a few nut cases, but the probability of thousands and thousands of these people coming together and literally showing extremely violent behavior is rare. But we've reported before last year that a lot of these people that are paid protesters, they got caught after they got arrested, getting bonded right out by the same, basically, organizations that were paying them from the beginning. So they don't have a lot to lose. They basically get bonded out, their fines get paid, they get an attorney if they have felony charges that fights for them, and then they get paid hundreds of dollars a day to engage in this violent behavior against anybody that doesn't go along with the mainstream media. It's not just the Republicans anymore against the Democrats, if you guys have noticed that. It's everybody against the leftist communist agenda. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or not, if you're a constitutionalist, if you're pro-life, if you're pro-gun, if you're pro-America, heck, if you just don't want to live in a communist country, these guys are trying to attack you now, and that clearly shows you that it's not just an organic activism, it is a paid protest, and they're being told exactly what to do and why they're being so violent, Dad.
Also, remember all the rioting that we had after the election with Trump. Yep. None of those people were prosecuted. They tried to prosecute a few of them, and finally they dropped all the charges on everybody. Yep. Because, you know, because remember, we talked about this 2 days ago. The court system can't handle 5,000 people getting locked up at one time if they all fight. Yep. It just can't handle it. I mean, in a district like that, it just bogs down and ties up everything. So I guess the government just decided to just let them all go and basically let them go out and, you know, protest another day, which all that does is empower them. Yep. They say, oh, I got away with it that time. Let me get away with it again. By the way, there's a couple of things I want to share with you real quick. This is what's happening right now. This is from the Black Community News, BCN. It's actually a pretty good website. I actually like this. And it says basically, think leftists despise old white men. Here's what they love about them. This is interesting. With the last remaining group in America that can be slandered, smeared, maligned, and accused of racism, sexism, and homophobia with no proof required, white men. On election night 2016, CNN's Van Jones attributed Donald Trump's victory to white lash. That is, white racists who rose up in fear and anger over a country governed for 8 years by a black president, in which whites will soon become a demographic minority. Never mind that Trump actually got a smaller percentage of the white vote than the presumably less racist Mitt Romney in 2012. Trump has also got a larger percentage of black, Hispanic, and Asian voters than Mitt Romney. He almost bettered Mitt Romney's showing for the young voters of nearly 700 counties that voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012. More than 200 voted for Trump. Apparently, racism in those counties must have slipped into remission during the Obama 8 years, only to bounce full and full force for Trump. This is so funny. Look at the pummeling white males endured by cable TV hosts and pundits commenting on Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings. How many comments veered into a blanket attack against all white men? An attack that would be called a racist attack that was leveled against any other racial group. They're absolutely right. I mean, if we start talking about black men doing this, black men or Hispanic men doing this, it would be like, oh, my God, you guys are a bunch of racists. But white guys, you know, that doesn't matter. Many pundits fretted over the bad optics of a small group of white men questioning Kavanaugh's accuser. This line of attack so spooked the Republicans, they brought in a female sex crimes prosecutor to question Dr. Ford. Of course, even that move, designed to show sensitivity to sexual assault survivors, did not escape criticism. One female host called it condescending to peddle in a girl to handle the proceedings. What they're saying is you can't win with these guys. You can't win that they don't like white people. These are hardcore racist people. This is an article by Lawrence A. Elder. Brilliant, brilliant writer, by the way. Very easy to read. He's absolutely right. Austin, we've been talking about the assault on white people and white men since we started the show. They want to get rid of all the white people. Oprah Winfrey says, until all the white people from the 50s and 60s and 70s are dead, that were born, everybody's dead, that they'll never get rid of racism in the United States. Well, you know, newsflash, a lot of these black people are really, really racist. A lot of these Hispanic people are really, really racist. They're right up there with the KKK and the neo-Nazi being racist. And remember, a racist believes that a person is the genetically inferior to them because they're a different race, and that race should be exterminated. It goes back to Darwinism. It goes back to eugenics, that certain races with certain IQs don't have a functional purpose. They're useless eaters, and they need to go away and just not basically burden the planet with their existence. That's what they believe. They believe in complete and total wiping out, complete genocide of that race. That's what a racist believes. A bigot, on the other hand, doesn't agree with somebody else's values. In other words, I don't believe that a pedophile should have the right to be a pedophile on children. That makes me a bigot against that pedophile. Same thing with all of that. So if you don't believe in homosexuality, if you don't want to see homosexuals kissing in public or in front of your children, that makes you a bigot. All right? So I have to wear the bigot title in some of those areas. I have to. I have no choice. Because I'm diametrically opposed to some people's value systems. I really am. But that doesn't mean I'm a racist. There's a big difference. Just because I criticize Israel doesn't make me an anti-Semite. Just because I criticize Russia doesn't make me an anti-Russianite. Just because I criticize America doesn't make me an anti-Americanite. I mean, it doesn't make you that. Just because you're being critical in your thought patterns and you don't want to think that, you know, everything's Pollyanna and happy-happy. You know, the Bible says that faith is a substance of things not seen, evidence of things hoped for, something like that. I'm not quoting that exactly right. Sharon knows that verse, but I talked to her about it this morning. When we have faith and we have hope, the faith and the hope that we have to have cannot be in our elected officials. Now listen to me for a second, people. This is important, friends. When we have a person like Donald Trump, we can hope that he's going to be okay and do what he says he's going to do. But the faith that we have, the hope that we have for the changing of the planet has to be in our Lord Jesus Christ and in Yahweh himself. We have to hope and believe in that. And the faith has to be in God, not in Donald Trump. Donald Trump is just another career politician. And when we're going to have hope and we're going to have faith, we have to have it from a spiritual standpoint in our Lord and Savior in Yahweh that's who we have to have the hope and the faith in. Politicians, you know, they're such, almost all of them, not all, you know, you said Rand Paul is pretty decent, Ron Paul was really, really good, and you know, there's a few other of the Republicans that are really, really staunch patriots and conservatives. Of course, they're not the ones that vote, you know, for all the crazy stuff all the time, but you know, we have to believe that the people that we put in office, Austin, are going to do what they say they're going to do. That creates the problem because the vast majority of them don't. So a blind faith in Donald Trump, a blind hope in Donald Trump that he's going to solve the spiritual problems of the United States isn't really realistic. That's what Q has done, this QAnon. QAnon has made us all believe that we're to have faith and hope in Donald Trump. And that's not where our faith and hope comes from. It's not where it comes from. So we have to understand that we've got to look at what's going on from a spiritual standpoint. And my friend Steve Quayle, he said to me a long time ago, he said, you know, the United States has a spiritual problem, not a political problem. Now think about that for a second. He says, you can't fix a spiritual problem using politics. It doesn't work that way, period. You have to use the political course that we have in this country, but you have to use the spiritual praying, fasting, all the things that we know to do every single day, not the fasting, but the prayer every single day, to change the reality that we live in. And the problem is, as Christians, if we only understood who and what we are in Christ Jesus, we could literally change the physical reality and this whole energy field that we live in overnight. That's what you guys, you know, who don't listen to the show, the people who don't listen to the show, that's what the guys who don't listen to the show don't understand. You guys get that. I mean, I remember last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was last year, we prayed against that one storm, and it actually shifted the same day, the same hour that we prayed. It shifted and headed back out into the Atlantic. But then and then other people started praying, and they basically changed what we had prayed, because you've got to be in agreement in prayer. That's why I like our pastor up here in North Carolina. His name's Pastor Rumsfeld. He prays for the sick and anoints them with oil. And he'll say to the congregation, if you have faith that this person is going to be healed, please join me in prayer. If you don't have faith in God that this person is going to be healed, then I need you to step out into the lobby and just not interfere with what we're praying here. Guys, this is so important that people get this and understand this. And it's just critical that we get it from that standpoint. Have our faith and our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, downtown L.A., this is crazy. I mean, everybody who wants to live in L.A., anyhow, I mean, it's going to be nuts, is now being hit with an outbreak of flea-borne typhus. Typhus is one of the diseases that killed a huge percentage of the people in the concentration work camps in Germany towards the end of the war, and was one of the primary reasons there was such a huge death count in the camps because of typhus. And this is Los Angeles. An outbreak of flea-borne typhus has hit downtown Los Angeles, the County Department of Public Health said Thursday. Health officials said they are investigating several cases of the flea-borne typhus, a disease that infected fleas can spread to humans when the fleas can come from cats, rats, possums, pets, and animals, but who don't get sick from typhus. In people, however, typhus can cause high fever, chills, headache, and a rash. It is not transmitted from person to person and can be treated with antibiotics. Although typhus only occurs throughout L.A. County, that's a nice place to live, we are observing more and more cases of the downtown Los Angeles area. So, guys, this is crazy. Just practice safe flea control. Use flea control products on pets. When outside, wear pants tucked into your socks or boots if you live in L.A. And this is actually true with anywhere you live into the country. Or spray an insecticide. Or they've got natural insecticides. You spray on the bottom of your pants now in natural oils. It'll get them away. You know, avoid being near wild animals like stray cats and stray dogs because of what they may have on them. And never touch or feed wild animals, especially possum, rats, and feral cats. I mean, feral cats are one of the nastiest things on the planet. They only have one good purpose. I'm not going to say what that is. It involves weapons. Store trash cans and cans and secure kids to avoid attracting animals. Clear areas where rats and stray animals sleep, hide, or find food, such as crawling spaces, attics, or under decks. And wear gloves and a mask when clearing these animals into these spaces. Guys, be very, very careful if you're around livestock, animals, and things out in the wild. And one thing, guys, I know a lot of you guys go out and hunt wild hog. I got that. And quite frankly, I wouldn't mind hunting wild hogs because they're such a nuisance animal, but I wouldn't touch one of those carcasses, Austin, and I would definitely not eat one. Why don't you gut it real quick and see all the parasites that are in it, and then go ahead and think about how much you want to eat that food. Because think through this for a second. Even if you cook that wild hog meat, and you get it high enough to kill those parasites, which you probably can't, including when they're in their larva stage, then when you're eating the meat, the parasites are still in the meat, and you're eating dead cooked trichina larvae or other types of worms that have gone inside that flesh and basically impregnated that animal, you know, with their worms. So you're eating the dead cooked worms. So guys, there's a reason God told us not to eat pork. And if that reason is not enough for you guys, I really don't know how to be any more graphic without getting absolutely awful. So what do you think of what's your next story?
Hogs are a very, very nasty animal, very large nuisance animal down here in Florida. Open the season on hogs 24/7, 365 in the state of Florida. We can hunt them anytime we want. I never touch them. I don't handle them at all. I like to shoot them for sport because they're usually pretty aggressive and they're fun to hunt, but I don't touch those things at all. I'd rather grab gators and sling those around than I do hogs because, believe it or not, gators are actually cleaner than hogs are. Hogs are nasty, nasty, nasty animals. Remember, hogs don't sweat. They don't release any toxins out. They store all their toxins inside their body. They're very, very nasty animals. They're scavenger animals that basically eat the other feces and carcasses of other dead animals that are around, including all the other parasites that are in those dead carcasses as well. They multiply like rabbits. They're unbelievably hard to get rid of once they get into a population because they breed so fast, and they love to go through and tear up farmland, especially corn and everything else, actually food that you're growing. That's why they're open season on them all the time. But no, I don't touch them, nor do I eat those things. Actually, I don't eat hog at all. I don't eat any swine. Just not once you start understanding clean and unclean meat, not even just from a biblical standpoint, because that's what a lot of people try to pull that card. Well, this is that and this is that. Listen, it comes from a simple common sense standpoint. Certain animals are meant for certain things. Other animals are meant for other things. You don't take animals like you when you drive by on the interstate and you see a carcass on the side of the road and there's a bunch of vultures eating it. You go, oh man, I'd love to shoot me a vulture right now. I would love me some vulture wings. That would just be delicious right now. It's a vulture wing. I don't think I've ever heard somebody say that in my life. Why? Because vultures are nasty, nasty animals and they eat dead carcasses. Guys, what do you think hogs do? That's exactly what their purpose is as well. It's just we've glorified them now over thousands of years and making them such a delicacy because of how much meat they produce and how much basically meat they yield when you farm raise them. And so now we've made them something that we've eaten for generations and generations and generations and generations to come. And no, and back to the flea thing, we do carry something at our website called Buzz Away. Insect repellent, mosquito repellent, insect repellent. It's basically got multiple different natural essential oils. It is completely DEET free, which if you guys know, DEET's a very effective insecticide, prevents them from getting on you, but it's also incredibly toxic, massively linked to cancer in the past when they've done studies on it. I would never use that stuff unless I absolutely had to use it. I was stuck out in the woods and you're either going to be dealing with, you know, West Nile mosquitoes down here or spraying DEET on yourself. But again, the Buzz Away does a really good job because I've used it numerous times, and you can spray it all over your body. There's no toxic effect to it whatsoever, and it's a lot healthier for you, especially if you're going to be outside a lot and you're going to be needing to spray bug spray on a regular basis. You know, one thing you were saying earlier, Dad, a little bit ago, with what the whole thing that we've seen in this country is, it's so crazy how we have this double standard now. And, you know, I was looking at stuff earlier because I was reading different things and taking notes on stuff on how crazy it is on the position that we're in because, you know, we live in a nation now that pretty much doesn't even accept, we almost glamorize the porn industry and the abuse in porn and all the different other aspects in movies that we glamorize and say, well, this is okay and that's okay. And yet then when somebody basically says that allegedly this guy may have sexually abused me 36 years ago, the whole nation goes in uproar and likes to say, you can't do this, that's unacceptable. Yet at the same time, those exact same people want to demand the rights for people to be involved in all types of weird types of debauchery. Just leave it at that. On top of that, you know, we don't believe in gender anymore, right? This nation pretty much says, We have to be all inclusive. We can't be male and female. I mean, we talked about that yesterday. We can't be homecoming queen, king and queen. We have to be homecoming royalty. But yet, we consistently fight for human rights, or excuse me, for women's rights, and say women have a right to do this and they have a right to do that. Well, which one is it? Do we not have any gender? Are we all on an equal basis now? Are we full-blown equality and gender fluid? Or are we fighting for women's rights? It's one or the other. And that's one of the things that really I've noticed lately. Another one is that we turn around and say that no child should be left behind in the school system. Everybody needs to be basically at the same level with Common Core. And every single child needs to be admitted in the United States, whether they're illegal or not. We can't detain them. You know, they need to have their rights as well. Yet, we consistently turn around and support, and not support even as much, we blatantly promote and endorse the fact that we've murdered over 60 million children in this country, yet we want to turn around and try to play the card that we really, really want to help kids, and we really want to leave no child behind, and these children at the border mean so much to us. Then the next week, these paid protesters or even these organic protesters run around and demand the rights for women to abort themselves or abort their children. But then you go back to the next aspect. Well, why is it a women's right to have that right? Why is it everybody's right to do that? Oh, that's right, because there's only two genders. There's male and female. And that's the irony that we see here, is because these guys have no argument, because they constantly trip over themselves with their own verbiage that they talk about, and their own ideology makes no sense to anybody but themselves. So I was just thinking about that earlier, Dad. Also, too, a health article that I saw earlier today, and we've talked about this over and over again, but I'm going to bring it up again, especially as we're going into wintertime and we hear about all the people, you know, that are getting sick, or the flu scares I talked about in detail yesterday. Another recent study, again, has been linking vitamin D to supporting overall brain health, and they said the vital nutrient can actually help relieve depression. We talked about this repeatedly. There's estimates suggest that at least 1 billion people in the U.S. now have a vitamin D deficiency. Another 350 million suffer from depression. Multiple studies have shown that there's a direct link between vitamin D deficiency and depression, but vitamin D is needed much more than that. Vitamin D is a huge nutrient that plays a role in the human body with healthy bones, healthy brain. Articles reported in B Brain Fit reports, ensuring your brain is healthy is the first line of defense when it comes to keeping depression at bay. Vitamin D is essential for brain health across the lifespan. It's essential for brain development in women and early childhood, and it keeps your brain healthy as you age by fending off cognitive decline. They go on to explain that vitamin D deficiency in older adults is also linked to multiple brain disorders, including depression, dementia, and schizophrenia. Another study that was back done in 2017, they said eating food that is rich in vitamin D and taking high-quality dietary supplements to improve vitamin D deficiency is crucial to your mental well-being, and especially in patients that have depression. Although several studies in relationship between depression and low vitamin D have been controversial, the literature provides enough data to state that people that are having it need to look at vitamin D levels. And this is so important. I tell people a lot of this in emails when they write me and they're dealing with issues, whether it be immune systems or whether they're trying to have a healthy brain function. Vitamin D is crucial. I can't tell you how many times I've asked people when they've said, you know, I'm having this issue or I have an issue, and I say, okay, well, have you had your vitamin D levels checked? Well, no, I just had my blood level. I had all my bloods checked with my doctor. They didn't test for vitamin D. So wait a minute. You go into the doctor. You tell them you're down, you're moody, you're depressed, you can't focus on anything, you have low energy. They do blood work on you, tell you everything comes back. But then when you look at it in detail, you realize they didn't even check for vitamin D. Guys, I can't tell you how many times I have heard that. And in most cases, when I talk to those people and they go back or they go to a different lab and they order vitamin D, they're usually super low, somewhere sometimes in the teens, which is extremely low. I remember when Lana was pregnant for both of our children, we went through a midwife, had beautiful pregnancies with both of them, and one thing the midwives are constantly monitoring every single month, usually every month to every other month, was doing blood work on vitamin D. Vitamin D is crucial when you're developing a baby, and is crucial to the mother's overall health as all. And you know, Lana was taking in so much, or putting out so much vitamin D into the child, that her vitamin D actually got low a couple times, into like the low 30s. And you know, at that point, she was taking like 10,000 IUs a day of our D3K2. and we decided to bump it up higher considering the fact that we were watching blood levels every single month. And of course, every month we watched them go up, and then, you know, it would go kind of plateau, so we'd increase the dosage more until we got it to the range that we really wanted to get into. But that is another factor too that I've seen a lot of with women that end up having issues with postpartum mental issues, and they're having a hard time being real down, not having energy. Not only did you take that baby out of you and all those nutrients, but also, too, that baby sucked all those nutrients out of you. They're no longer inside you. The placenta is no longer inside you. So vitamin D alongside B-complex, in my opinion, from what I've seen, are two crucial nutrients that need to be in your diet on a regular basis. Even if you're healthy, you need to have those in there. And if you're really trying to maintain healthy well-being and healthy mental function, vitamin D, B vitamins, and omega-3 fats. Those three right there are the big trifecta that really do well with keeping everybody in a good mood. And even myself personally, those are three that I always take all the time. D, multiple, B, and the omega-3 fats. And, you know, even if you had to drop it down and drop the B and just go with our ultimate multiple, if you're on a budget, that could work okay, too, because our ultimate multiple, we have a pretty high dose of B-complex in there as well. So your vitamin D, your ultimate multiple, and your omega-3, that right there is a core base supplement stack that I would highly recommend to anybody as a starter point, especially if you're just trying to keep something simple and you're on a budget, Dad. Anything you want to add on that?
Well, yeah, omega-3 is one of the primary causes deficiency of for postpartum depression.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a baby and you have another baby, and you're not supplementing your diet with omega-3, number one, you're going to drop the IQ of the child. That's number one. Number two, it's going to it'll pull the omega-3 right out of your brain, and it'll make you really, really, really down. So remember, when you're creating a body inside of you, the body has to have specifically high amounts of nutrients in order to do that. And the food supply alone, even when you eat organic, simply doesn't give you the nutrients like it used to because of the way that everything's been processed, because of the chemtrails, because of a lack of sunshine, because of the barium, because of the aluminum, because of all the stuff they're doing to us. And, you know, just speaking of chemtrails for a second, it's October. I'm in North Carolina, and my thermometer still says it's 98 degrees outside, and it's really hot. And I cannot believe, Austin, that this is what we have now in the United States. You know, Dane Whittington has warned us about the methane gas expulsion in the Arctic as a greenhouse gas being like 1,000 times more powerful than carbon dioxide. And, you know, I really believe that Dane is right about this, and I really believe that they've so tampered with the climate now that how can I say this in a way that doesn't sound like I'm going nuts? Of course, you guys probably already think that I'm already sounding like I'm going nuts. Anyhow, it doesn't make any difference. But the reality is this. Ask yourself this question. Why are they terraforming the planet? There, I said it. Why are they terraforming the planet? Is there another species out there that just wants it hotter here? I mean, you know, are the fallen angels really all about heat? I mean, you know, when Lucifer shows up in the garden, he's described as a reptile. They really like it hot. You get a gator on the side of the doggone beach and it's cold outside. They're very lethargic. Do they want to make it hotter and hotter? You know, Charlie Sheen did a movie years ago. I think it was called The Arrival.
Yep.
And it was about they were out terraforming the entire world because this alien species liked it hotter. You know, reptiles like it hot. And so there's something weird going on because the guys that are doing this are breathing this junk too. The guys that are doing this, is their family are also breathing this stuff. It says, ask yourself a question. Who in the world's really doing this? Who's in charge of this? Hebrews 11:1. Let me give it to you the right way. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen, and it gives us an assurance about things we cannot see. English Standard Version. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Berean Study Bible. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see. Basically, they all mean the same thing. This faith is in God Almighty. We have to have faith. It's in Yeshua. It is not in a political figure. Very, 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 very important that we know that. By the way, October the 3rd, Russia now has completed delivery of the S-300s to Syrian military. They will be fully operational by mid-month. As far as fully trained with the people there knowing how to do it, this is going to be an integrated air defense network. It's set to basically reestablish a war-torn country by October the 20th. Russia is already delivering equipment and training Syrian servicemen for the purpose. So this is a big deal for the Syrian army. But Israel has come right back and said they're boasting now, this is from Zero Hedge, that its U.S.-made stealth fighters can beat the S-300 missile systems in Syria. Now, I was unaware of this, Austin. We have been selling F-35s, stealth fighters, to Israel. Of course, we don't sell it to them. We don't sell it to them. We give them tens of billions of dollars in aid, and they give us the money back. I mean, we give them the money, and they give us the money back. An Israeli government official has boasted that the Israeli Air Force's American-made F-35 fighter jet can beat the newly transferred Russian's S-300 air defense system now in Damascus' hands. This comes after Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu, can't keep his mouth shut, last week vowed to continue striking Iranian targets inside of Syria, despite news of Russians following through with the transfer. I mean, what an absolute mess that we have going on in the Middle East. Israel began receiving the Lockheed Martin F-35 joint strike fighters over a year ago, something referenced by saying, you know that we have stealth fighters, the best planes in the world, and these batteries are not even able to detect them. Israel will now rely on the fighters' advanced stealth capabilities to avoid detection by the anti-aircraft missile systems in an attempt to continue its raids with impunity. Or at least that's what the Israeli leaders are telegraphing to their enemies. However, the confirmed S-300 transfer to Syria certainly ups the risk factor significantly should the IAF decide to continue operations of their hundreds of attacks into Syria. Guys, Russia can also step it up one more notch and send the S-400 systems in, which are even more advanced. So, you know, when I look at what's going on over there, and I'm going to say this again. Let's say this. Cuba decides they're going to attack the United States. Right? They're going to attack Florida. And they just start bombing Miami. They fly into Miami. They bomb Miami. They bomb Fort Lauderdale. They get a couple of their planes. They get a little further up. They start bombing up there in the central Florida where we live. They go and bomb Tampa. And Cuba goes, if you try to defend yourselves, we're going to bomb you more. What the heck? Austin, who talks like that? I mean, why does anybody with the right mind think that this is okay? And you say, well, we think that they're preparing to attack Cuba. Okay, well, you've been saying that for 20-something years that Florida was going to attack Cuba. It hasn't attacked Florida. It hasn't attacked Cuba. So why do you keep bombing Florida? See, this doesn't make any sense. And it's because of the Zionist brain entrainment in the media into the Christian churches. The Protestant churches were supposed to be the peace-loving group. We weren't supposed to be the warmongers. And every time somebody kills somebody, we go, yeah, it's good. What the heck? Where did Christianity change like that, Austin? It's so frustrating to me that this is going on, and it doesn't seem to get any different. It just continues to do the same stuff over and over and over again. What do you think? What do you think about bragging that we're going to continue bombing you, even though you have new weapon systems and you can't make us stop bombing you? I mean, what's up with that, Austin?
Well, one thing that's crazy is that, this is ridiculous. I mean, it shows you the level of Israel's arrogance because they're standing there with the United States at their back and they're saying, hey, we can do pretty much anything that we want because the U.S. is basically our Dubois. One ironic part about this is, you know, the F-35 was earmarked for United States budget with the Pentagon. It was a multi-billion dollar budget. The planes are coming in at around $115 million a piece. And ironically enough, the F-35 was used in combat for the first time. You can look at this online. As the Israeli Air Force F-35 has been flown all over the Middle East and carried out the plane's first combat airstrike in the world on two different battlefronts via Israel. So not only did we make this plane essentially for them, they used it the first time, which means they got this stuff pre-production. They got the plans, they had the designs, they already knew what they were getting, and they were ready for it as far as with their GPS, as far as with their all their radar capability. Everything was dialed in for this F-35. And then, of course, we gave them these really, really, really expensive machines with a multi-billion-dollar budget that we've been spending over the last, 4 years on this plane. And now they're coming in and saying they're basically going to beat the S-300 systems. the level of lunacy that these guys have reached is, it knows no bounds. And again, but the thing about it is, the sad part about it is, we know it's not because they're really trying to protect themselves. I don't buy that for a second. Anybody that does, you really need to wake up and smell the roses to see what's going on. Israel wants to control the entire Middle East. They already stated that. And the only way they can do that is take over Syria. And the thing is, they continually blame the Iran narrative, the weapons of mass destruction narrative, the nuclear armament narrative, everything they could do to try to bomb them. But one thing that is interesting, even though the F-35 is so advanced, this new military radar device that I talked to you about yesterday, that Russia has now started deploying and trying to make operational very nearly in the future, I don't think the F-35 can beat that, because as Dan talked about yesterday, all these planes are so electronically based now, and they're so geared as far as on electronics and GPS and communication, that as soon as you start jamming the radar, there's not a whole lot they can do. Now, they may be fast enough, and they may have the ability to be agile enough to get out of that area where the radar is jamming very quickly and try to elude them. But as far as for a temporary time being, they're going to start being disabled when it comes to their communications, their GPS, and there are other aspects of it. So this is going to be something very interesting to see. As we know, the stated goal pretty much with Israel, their underlying goal, is that they want to go to a World War III. They want an excuse to launch nuclear weapons, because they know as soon as they do anything, the United States is going to run over and say, oh, yes, master, what you want us to do next? Who do you want us to bomb next? That's just a sad part as it is, but that's exactly what we do. And as you said, Dan, it's really pathetic that the churches have promoted this ideology now, that it pretty much doesn't matter who Iran attacks or Israel attacks, who they bomb, who they shoot, who they nuke, doesn't matter. We have to support Israel because Israel's Israel. And I don't care who it is. If you do something stupid, I'm going to call you out. I always have. It doesn't matter if you're supposedly the country that nobody's supposed to talk bad about or not. You can't run around and act the way you want around every single country and expect there to be no consequences. And that's what I think is going to be coming very, very soon, is World War III in the Middle East. A lot of people predicted it for years, and you can see how it's slowly coming to a head. We've been blessed that Russia has kept such a cool mind about this and has not literally escalated this numerous times if they wanted to, and they're really trying to do everything they can to prevent this. Because here's the thing, Russia's the bad guy in the whole textbooks of everything now. It doesn't matter if they're the bad guy. It doesn't matter if we all believe they're not the bad guy. If the United States says they're the bad guy, essentially, that's what the gospel is now, is whatever the United States and what Israel says, that's the only thing that matters according to them. And they want to have a bad guy, and Russia is the bad guy. That's why they used them for the 2016 election as a scapegoat, the Russian collusion in the whole election, this whole thing now with Russia basically, you know, defending Syria. They're the bad guy now. There always has to be a bad guy in the narrative, and this is who America and Israel has chosen to pick to make the bad guy for the next World War III. It was Germany in World War II. It was pretty much Germany in World War I. Germany's gotten picked on. They've pretty much been decimated. They're a bunch of stinking immigrant Muslims over there now that are controlling that entire country. And so Germany shot. It's done. Next 10 to 15 years, you won't even recognize Germany when you go over there, sadly enough, because we still have family over there. But Russia is the next bad guy for the next World War III, at least in my opinion.
Well, the primary customers of the F-35, of course, the United States is the primary developer. Then we have level one partners, the United Kingdom, level two partners, Italy and the Netherlands, the level three partners, Turkey, Canada, Australia, Norway, and Denmark. And then we have level whatever partners called security cooperative participants, and that's Israel and Singapore. So the F-35 is a very, very advanced fighter plane that basically is going to really be a game changer, I think. But the problem with that plane, as with these other planes, Austin, is that this technology they're using in these planes is old technology. I mean, the new technology they have that's been developed, you know, that we use in our space-based weapon systems is so far advanced past that. It's like the iPhones that we currently have. There's like five models above this that we are already available that they just don't produce, because they produce the level they want to sell to as many people as they can, and then they can they bring it up another notch, bring it up another notch to maintain the cash flow from all the different sales. I mean, they could have brought out the iPhone 10 or whatever 10 years ago if they wanted to. As far as I'm concerned, that's the technology. Is that antiquated when they finally go to market with it? And the problem with that is the same thing with these fighter jets. You know, their technology is far, far superior. Look at the F-22 Raptor. That was supposed to be the latest, greatest thing we've ever seen. And you and I went over to that airbase show over in Tampa that day, over in Lakeland, and we watched that thing break down doing a vertical ascent. Now, don't get me wrong, it was about 50 feet off the runway, took off, and just went straight vertical. I mean, just like a doggone rocket ship, we were a quarter of a mile away from it. We felt the heat from the afterburners a quarter of a mile away, and it went straight up like a doggone spaceship, and all of a sudden it just starts doing a few circles and lands. And then we go, what's wrong with it? Well, they had a light up on the dash, and it broke down. And that was it. It never took off again. It was just there. And so it's just interesting to me, the technology of what we have and what we have available. That was supposed to be the latest, greater fighter ever. They couldn't get the oxygen systems right on the plane. Spent billions and billions of dollars to develop it. Dropped it. Now they went to the F-35, which is ridiculous. I mean, you think they'd get one of these things right with the technology they have. Here's a report from Breitbart. The Catholic Church is now facing the gravest crisis since the Protestant Reformation, primarily due to this nut pope they've got and this child pedophilia they have. The Catholic bishops are gathering in Rome for a synod, whatever that is, in a moment in which the church faces perhaps its gravest crisis since the Protestant Reformation in the form of worldwide clerical sodomizing sexual abuse scandals. I mean, the Catholic Church has got themselves in a major, major problem here. Much of this will depend on Pope Francis, who everybody doesn't like as far as I'm concerned, since he currently seems to be the church's biggest obstacle to tackling the sex abuse crisis head on. He has repeatedly refused to confirm or deny allegations that he knowingly rehabilitated serial homosexual abuser Cardinal McCarrick and elevated him to a position of influence in the Vatican. Guys, these guys are a bunch of sickos, man. And again, I'm not saying that every Catholic bad. I don't believe that at all. But guys, you know, these guys are the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. He's got some serious mess going on over there. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm about to pray for you this morning. You guys are awesome. You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much for all that you do. First, thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Had a good week of shows for you. We'll be re-airing Wednesday's show for Friday night, so you guys will enjoy that one again. For Sunday night. And Austin, I'll let you close it up. Love you guys, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Absolutely, and we really do appreciate all the support, guys, sincerely. Everything that's going on right now in the alternative media and the censoring, just thank you guys for standing up for what you know is right and supporting what we do. Thank you for buying your multiple from us at the very least, and thank you for supporting Health Masters. If you guys saw on the website, the Health Masters joint rebuilding formula is on sale right now. Also, too, the joint relief formula is also on sale, so you can buy one of those or both of those on a very large discount right now at healthmasters.com. So if you guys need anything, email us or call us, 1-800-726-1834. Thank you so much for your support. You guys have a blessed, safe Friday and an amazing weekend, and we'll talk to you guys again Monday, as always.